Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello.
Today, we're going to dig into a top requested topic. Well, you know, whatever. Yes. A highly requested
TRL. Total request live copywriting style. Yeah.
That's very exciting. Yeah. 13-year-old me is feeling the excitement.
Look, there's Carson Daly behind you.
That would be disturbing. How did he get into my house? And I do want to point out, if you are a CCA student listening, we have an entire course about this. We have an entire course about making your LinkedIn profile as fantastic as it can be. But we thought we would also dig in and give some high-level pointers on the podcast here as well. Certainly not just high-level, impactful as well. But check if you're a CCA student, this piques your interest, listen to this episode, and then go check out the full course as well within the CCA, of course.
Yeah. And we'll touch on a little bit in terms of clients landing clients via LinkedIn. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. In this episode, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming. I think that the first tip, and I think it sounds very basic and people might be like, all right, well, great. but you'd be surprised at how many people don't do it, is to put the word copywriter into your title, Say who you are, what you do. So, you know, they give you your name and then they give you the opportunity to give your title. Put the word copywriter in there, because often people will be on LinkedIn and literally searching the word copywriter. And if at all possible, you want your name to come up as part of the listing, because that is a high, that's an area of your bio that that LinkedIn gives high relevance.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people overthink that headline, if you will, area, section, descriptor, with trying to be very clever about what they are, trying to say something that no one else is saying on the platform. You know, I've seen one person who did, like, you know, world's best marketer, according to her mom or something like that. And it's catchy and clever, but it's not necessary to what that function is for LinkedIn. Recruiters are using that. Clients are using that. Again, to Nikki's point, people are searching, and those are the terms and words and whatnot that people are going to see first. And that's what's going to help you come up in these searches. And so if you are freelance, it might be a good idea to also say freelance. If you are open to full-time work, then maybe you don't add that word, because you know, it could be either, and you keep it just very high-level copywriting. But my point is that you don't have to get clever and overthink it in that area. That's not necessarily an area that you have to show off your expertise as a copywriter. There are other places to infuse your voice and your tone and whatnot, and that might not be the best place to do it.
Yeah, exactly. What are people searching for? They're searching for copywriter. So put copywriter. Don't put wordsmith. Don't put, keep it simple. Keep it straightforward. Within that title, within that title section as well, I know people think, well, I can only put my title as. No,
they don't limit you, so don't limit yourself. What we also recommend is putting in the URL for your portfolio site. Because if someone comes up and if someone does a search and you come up in the search and your title and then your portfolio site comes up, you know what they're probably going to do right away? Go over to your portfolio site and take a look. And once you've got them on your site, there's a much better chance that they're going to engage with you because they've taken that extra step. So make it easy for them to get to your portfolio site by putting it in a high importance place, like within that title section.
Yeah. You still need a portfolio site. Surprise. Even if you have the world's best LinkedIn profile, even if you have portfolio samples on your LinkedIn profile, which I know they allow you to do now to have examples of work and projects and whatnot that you've worked on, but you still need a portfolio. Many, many clients will look for a portfolio still. They're not going to just take the word of your LinkedIn profile. They might look at your experience, yes, but more likely than not, they'll say, okay, this person's copyright. Where's their portfolio? And you want to make it very easy for them to find it.
Yeah. Well, and bear in mind too, if they're on LinkedIn and they're searching copywriter, yes, you want to come up, but bear in mind, you're not going to be the only person who comes up. So if five copywriters come up, if they search copywriter Denver area, if five copywriters come up and you don't have a portfolio site, that's an easy way for them to just rule you out and go, all right, well, we're not going to reach out to them. Let's reach out to these other four. So yes, our students know that you need your portfolio site. So get it done. Keep it updated.
Yes. And I do want to mention too, for folks who are listening, who are maybe still building their copywriting business alongside a 9-to-5, you know, whether you're a teacher, a lawyer, we have name a career and we have folks in the CCA doing a career or, you know, potentially looking to leave that career. I get that there's hesitation in wanting to update your LinkedIn profile if you feel like your current employer is going to potentially see this and have questions. So obviously take this episode if that is you and you do not feel comfortable updating it. That is okay. There are other ways, and LinkedIn is not the end all be all in terms of getting clients. In fact, it's if you're not on LinkedIn and you don't want to be on LinkedIn, that's okay too.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when you get to finding clients, but it's not a direct line to clients. Yeah. Yes, is it possible for clients to search for copywriter and find you? Sure. And is that more likely than someone searching on Google? Well, yes, way more likely. However, it's a dotted line. It is a potential way to get people to reach out to you, but it's not a guaranteed way. So yes, you don't, if you have your full-time job and you're like, I don't want to switch my LinkedIn profile over entirely to copywriting, then don't. And if you think eventually you're going to transition into copywriting, great, then switch it over then. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. The next section is the bio area. And the big mistake that people make in the bio area is they make it about themselves. And I know that you might be thinking, but Kate, it says bio, shouldn't it be about me? And the answer is, peripherally. your bio, like the, and we, our students know that we laugh about this, the bio, like the about me section on your website, is not about you. It's about what you can do for your clients.
And so one of the best things to put in this area, again, CCA students know this, and we go over this every year during, or it's coming up, that's why it's top of mind, our student only Pitchapalooza event in January, which is, I love it. I get so excited talking about it. But anyway, one of the things we cover in that is creating and crafting your USP, which is unique selling proposition. I think some people use the P as
point. Yeah.
Point but and unique selling
same,
point.
Same thing.
Same difference. Same thing. But the point of the unique selling point is what makes you different, better than any other copywriter. And if you're just starting out, you might be like, oh, well, I have nothing that makes me different or better or whatever. And the point really is, though, to show how your past experience has made you the copywriter that you are. So, you know, we've had some incredible examples from students over the years. You know, one of my favorites is Tyler, who was a former Air Force officer and talked about his experience. I believe he did something with rockets and tied that into how he then crafts copy, that thought process. So I actually found Tyler's USP. And if you are watching on YouTube, you see me looking over. It's because I have it pulled up on the screen. So I'm going to read it as an example. A former missile launch officer in the U.S. Air Force, I use a methodical, disciplined approach to writing that hones in on your target customer's needs, delivering powerful effects for your business. My medium of choice, once nuclear weapons, is now explosive copy. I would love to get to know you and your brand so I can help tell your story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's about how the USP is about how the different experiences we've had. And yes, maybe it's missile launching, maybe it's raising toddlers, maybe mm-hmm. it's being in social work, maybe it's teaching. Any number, maybe it's teaching, maybe it's being a pastry chef, maybe it's, mm-hmm. which by the way, we have students that have had
yeah.
all of these backgrounds and many, many more, but there are elements of your background that have developed traits in you mm-hmm. that make you distinctive as a copywriter. And when you highlight what those traits are, you help show people how you are unique. And so in that bio section, you want to get into your USP and talk about what you bring to the table that nobody else does. Why a client would benefit from working with you. Your bio is not about you in the like, this is what I love. I'm passionate about this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it in that kind of like, I'm passionate about this. I don't mean to be condescending in any way. I apologize. What I mean is that it's very easy to default to just talking about ourselves because it's easy for us to talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But that's not how we operate as copywriters, as marketers. We put our clients first and we think about what our clients need to hear in order to make the decision to get in touch with us. Because that's what the whole point of the LinkedIn bio is, right? It's a piece of copy. And the desired action we want someone to take is to get in touch with us, or the very least to follow us or to connect with us or something like that. So think in terms of what does your ideal target audience, meaning potential clients, potential bosses, what do they need to read in order to want to connect with you?
And CCA students, if you want more, obviously post in the student-only Facebook group, submit your USP to a coaching call, you'll get so much feedback, but also take a look at on your course dashboard under special events and then Pitchapalooza. Week one is when we go over the USP of Pitchapalooza. So take a look at those recordings because there's a lot of helpful information in there that will help you really hone in and craft a great USP.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then another part that I think people are so like, well, this is what LinkedIn tells me. I have to do it this way. So I have to do it this way. It will give you the experience section. And I think so many of us are used to writing the resumes where you list mm-hmm. out, this is where I worked from this year to this year. This is my title. This is my bullet points with big words that don't really mean anything, like facilitated, blah, 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 partnered with, blah, 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 empowered this department to, you know, all that stuff that it's just silly marketing speak that doesn't actually mean anything, but that's how people are taught to write their resumes. You don't have to do that in this section. Our students know that you can put in a selected credits resume, which is where you just highlight projects that you worked on. What mm-hmm. the project was about, who the client was, what the project was about, what some of the challenge was, how you solved the challenge. That is fine because that's what your target audience, what your potential client wants to know anyway. They don't want to know about when you worked for Barnes & Noble right after you got out of college. Is it great? Does it verify the fact that you've been employed somewhere? Sure. But also so does saying, well, I wrote this copy for this client. So a selected credits resume, do not feel limited by what LinkedIn tells you you have to put in there. Instead, think about what does my target audience need to know?
Mm-hmm. And I think for folks who are still just starting out, maybe haven't worked on a project yet, put in some of the spec work that you've done. And you mm-hmm. can show that work. Again, you still want a portfolio, but you can put in pieces within your LinkedIn profile to show the work that you've done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as always, mention that it's spec work, mm-hmm. but it's still, you still had to use strategy and creativity mm-hmm. to do the work. So talk about what the challenge was and how you solved that challenge. That's all you need to demonstrate. The fact that you don't just go, oh, I just put some words on a page. No, of course you don't. You use strategy and you use creativity to show them how you do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you're first starting too, know that LinkedIn, it's not like, okay, now it's perfect and it's done. It's going to be, this is your kind of temporary solution, if you will, until you start getting client projects and you getting client work, and you might start to adjust how you approach this section of LinkedIn. You will start to adjust how you approach this section of LinkedIn. It's going to evolve a little more rapidly over the first few even weeks and months of your career. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, you might get to a point where you say, okay, every quarter or so I will go and I will update it just like your portfolio. You want to put time on your calendar to remember that it exists if this is a platform that you were using, or even if you're not using it actively, people can still find you there. So you want to make sure it at least reflects some of the most up-to-date work that you've done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So let's dig into posting and connecting. Number mm-hmm. one, should you post on LinkedIn? Yeah. Absolutely. Post on LinkedIn. There's absolutely no reason not to post on LinkedIn. But the question is, what should you post? Mm-hmm. How often should you be posting? And how much time should you spend posting?
To Nikki's earlier point of LinkedIn being a dotted line to getting clients, you want to keep that in mind with how much time and effort you're spending on LinkedIn. If you are using LinkedIn to, instead of pitching clients directly, then you might want to reconsider that. If it's a resistance tactic, which it can very easily be, oh, I'm doing something that is professional, it's growing my business and it's for my business. If you don't have your direct line dialed in to clients, which by the way, the direct line is pitching, that's when you have control, you are outreaching to potential clients. And again, value-based pitching, we are not sending spam, we are not sending mass emails asking or begging for work. We are showing up in people's inboxes with a valuable idea and saying, hey, we can help you out with that. Mm-hmm. That is your direct line to client acquisition. That mm-hmm. is the one way to directly be getting work. Yeah. Everything else, social media, whether it's LinkedIn, and I know LinkedIn seems more professional than Facebook, so you might feel like, well, LinkedIn, that's more of a direct line than Facebook. Everything else is secondary to your pitching efforts. So if you mm-hmm. don't have your pitching efforts dialed in, if you don't have enough time to do anything beyond pitching, great, focus on your pitching.
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. If you have not started pitching yet, especially, maybe you can be like, ooh, I don't know, I have to put myself out there. What if I just post on LinkedIn instead? Because then I will attract people to me. It does not work to the same degree, if at all, quite frankly. And I know that there are courses out there, or there are gurus out there trying to sell you stuff that says, like, here's how to post on LinkedIn and get all of your clients this way and all of that kind of. Look, here's the thing. Kate and I have been doing this for a long time. I've been in this business actually probably before LinkedIn even existed. If there were an easier way to get clients, believe us, we would have found it and we would have taught it to you. There's no benefit for us to be like, oh, well, here's this easy way to do it, but let's not tell them about that. No, we want you to be successful. We want you to be wildly successful. So if there was an easier way, if you could land all the clients you need from just posting on LinkedIn, we would be teaching you how to do that as part of this program. But that's not the way to get you. You might start building relationships mm-hmm. and you might get people saying, oh, I saw this post. I know so-and-so is looking for, you might get some referrals that way, but you're not going to, first of all, it's not predictable. And anytime that you are putting the control of your income and career in other people's hands, hoping, which by the way, is not a strategy, hoping and wishing, not a strategy, hoping that is going to bring you in clients, whereas pitching will directly get you clients. So again, post on LinkedIn, absolutely. But just make sure it's not taking up, don't make sure it's not taking time away from your pitching. And number two, make sure that it is not taking up a ton of time and that you're not, that resistance isn't kicking up and you're not doing it instead of pitching, because it feels safer. It feels a little bit less scary, because you're going to find that, absolutely, test posting on LinkedIn. But if you test, if that is your only way to get clients, you're going to find 6 months down the line that you've got like one client, maybe, and you can't live with it, maybe, and you can't live on one client.
Yeah, and some of the other things to consider with LinkedIn when you're posting and you're interacting on the platform, number one, who are you connected with? you know, if you are connecting with lots and lots of other copywriters, they might weigh in on your post and you might feel like, wow, I'm getting lots of likes, engagement, all of that sort of thing, which can be a very, you know, dopamine. We all love it. Yeah. But it's not helpful to building our careers. It can be very, feel very validating. But if it's the wrong folks, and by wrong, I don't mean it's a bad thing to follow other copywriters. You can certainly learn a lot and engage with other people and whatnot. And it's great. But when it comes to client acquisition, and if you're using this platform with that purpose, that's not the folks that are going to hire you. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, are there copywriters that hire other copywriters to work with them? Yes, but that's a very small subset of the folks that you will be working with.
Yeah, and I know that sometimes dopamine, right? And we can say, oh, I want to have more connections. I want to have more, mm-hmm. more followers. Sure, I understand that desire, but that's what we call a vanity metric mm-hmm. because it's something that makes you feel better, but it doesn't necessarily lead to more work, especially if, you know, and sometimes we'll see it in the Facebook group and there's nothing wrong with that. Say, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn and let's, you know, build each other's. That's fine. But you want to be connecting with potential business owners. And I'm not saying go out and just randomly connect with strangers. That doesn't mm-hmm. work either. What I will say is maybe don't actively try to be connecting with more and more and more copywriters, right? Mm-hmm. Connect absolutely. If there's a copywriter that you know, connect with them, certainly. I would also suggest consider limiting who you connect with. Make sure they're actually people you know. Because what's the point of connecting with people you don't even know? If just because someone sends you a connection request doesn't mean that you have to accept it. Look and see if this is someone that you actually want to connect with. Also, I think that especially, you know, a business owner or someone that you don't know who wants to connect with you will give you a reason that they mm-hmm. want to connect with you. Or they're trying to sell something to you, but just keep that in mind. But also keep this in mind as you're going back to posting a little bit. Like Kate said, if you are posting a bunch of stuff that your copywriter, and you have a lot of copywriter connections and they're all liking that, that's not necessarily an indicator that's a great post that your potential clients are going to be interested in. Because just like your profile, the posts need to be things, the purpose of the posts should be to attract potential clients. So make sure that the topics of the post are geared toward what your potential clients want or need to hear and or would find useful, even inspirational, even entertaining, probably useful first, versus what other copywriters would enjoy. Because that's great. Again, super if they like it, nice. But the primary purpose of being on there is to potentially attract clients or give them, and the posts can demonstrate or another opportunity to demonstrate the way that you think and your expertise. But it's not an opportunity, or it shouldn't be an opportunity, just to get likes from other copywriters.
Mm-hmm. And to the point of sending requests to people that you want to follow, you want to put something in there. You don't want to just send connect with no context of who you are, why it is that you want to connect. You know, maybe it is a potential client that you saw on another thread and you said, hey, you know, I saw this post that you wrote about, and I think it would be really, I have this great idea for you. You can treat it like a pitch if you want to. Add value. You want to be adding value. You want to give some reason of why it makes sense for the two of you connect versus just hitting that connect button with folks that you don't yet know.
Exactly. What's the benefit to them of connecting with you? And actually, I want to say this, and I keep meaning to post it in the Facebook group. CCA students, absolutely connect with me. And Kate, certainly. Mm-hmm. But same thing. Tell us in the message that you are CCA students. Because we have multiple brands in the company, I don't say this to be like, ooh, everybody wants to connect with me. But because we have multiple brands and we're kind of out there, we get a lot of people wanting to connect with us. And if you don't tell us that you are a CCA student, we don't know. So let us know so that we absolutely will connect with you. But the only way that we can know, this is back to the like, tell us who you are and why you want to connect. Mm-hmm. And we'll absolutely take that connection. But you have to let someone know. You can't just press the button. And I know that there's some buttons in LinkedIn that don't give you the opportunity. It's just like an instant connect, which I feel like they need to tell you in advance, but I know some of them don't. Send a message then. send a message saying, hey, just, you know, requested the connect and I'm, you know, whatever, whether it's a potential client or whether it's Caterai, but you have to let people know. Otherwise, there's no benefit. You're going to get a lot of people ignoring you and that's not going to feel good for you.
Yeah. Speaking of buttons, while we're on the topic of buttons, is the Easy Apply. And we did a whole episode on interviews and applying for jobs for those folks who are looking for full-time copywriting work. Mm-hmm. And we will link to that episode. It's the first part of a three-part series. And basically, just please don't use the Easy Apply button if you want to see us rage.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. The Easy Apply button is... It's easy, right? But haven't we learned that everything that's easy is not actually effective or works out being hard and long? When you use the Easy Apply button for, like, let's say there's a copywriting position that you're interested in, you use the Easy Apply button, you become one of hundreds of people who apply for this job. And then the business owner or the hiring manager has to go through and sort through all of these. And your chances of standing out are incredibly slim. Versus, as our students know, use that for jobs. You can still use that same pitching method that we teach you to reach out to the hiring manager directly. Again, focus on value, focus on being helpful, but reach out to them directly. From both the applicant side and the hiring manager side, that Easy Apply button is the worst thing. Don't do it.
A couple of other points that we think are crucial to mention, and this one might seem obvious to some people, but we've seen it happen, so that's why we're saying it. Don't talk about your clients on LinkedIn. Even if you're saying, and I mean this by...
Only in the most positive way.
Yes. You can share testimony. Oh, I had this great project with this client. Check out their business. We redid their homepage. Look how awesome it is. And tooting your client's horn. We love that. Talking about clients in a negative way of I had this worst client, even if you're not saying the client's name, company, whatever, to talk badly about clients in general. Again, this is, I think, where having other copywriters follow you, it can feel validating to vent or, you know, relatable. And it's relatable. Certainly we've, you know, things happen with people. People can be funny, interesting, whatever. It does come across so poorly if you are ranting about a client. And again, we have seen this happen. Mm-hmm. And then someone commented on it about how negative it was. And it was just like watching, I don't want to say a train wreck, but it just felt
you showed this to me, Kate. It was someone who had put, they were a freelancer and they were posting about the problem they had with a client. It was just a client was being a pain. It's all right. Sometimes they are. But one of their other clients had commented on the post and said, is this the way that you talk about your clients in public? I'm not interested in working with you. Something along those lines. It was a train wreck. This should be – social media is not the place to vent. It's just not. Because it's not a closed group, you don't know who's seeing it. Keep it positive only on social media. At least in our students know in the CCA Facebook group, it's a closed group. So if you have days where you're like, oh, I just have to say this, what I would recommend not to get too far off the topic, but like in the Facebook group is don't just vent, ask for constructive ideas. Oh, I'm so frustrated by this. How could I have done this differently? Or, oh, I'm so frustrated by this. How could I avoid this situation in the future? That's a great way to do it. But that's a closed group and that's only other copywriters. On LinkedIn in general, like, well, it's only my connection seeing it. Well, maybe not.
Because
if someone comments on it, then it's going to show up, then your post is going to show up in somebody else's feed. Positive only ever. If you at any point think, is this at all negative? Don't post it.
And just think, you know, clients are humans too. We're humans. We all make mistakes. We all have off days. So just remembering that too. And I get that we all need to vent sometimes, but just at the end of the day, we're
don't
all
do it
human.
Online.
We don't want to be ghosted by other people. So don't ghost your clients. If we don't want to treat others how you want to be treated, that's really what it comes down to. You would hate if someone said, oh, I worked with this copywriter and awful, and here's all copywriters. You would be like, wait, what? That's not, it'd be a weird vibe, right? So just, The other important thing too is if you don't necessarily have to post. Again, if you're going to post, make it valuable to your potential clients. What kinds of information would be valuable to those potential clients? You don't necessarily want to make it about you. Again, an example of like, hey, look at this project I just completed and it was great. Make it about your client and how great they are and how great they were to work with and what the problem was, how you solved it. Turn it into something that's valuable for other people on the feed versus just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another great point or perspective from that. When you're posting, venting about a client, that's self-serving. It's entirely mm-hmm. self-serving, and that's not the place for it. Because mm-hmm. again, your posts, your profile are all about what your potential clients need and want to hear. And that's not something they ever need or want to hear.
Right. But you can also look at other people's comments and threads and what other people are posting and weigh in on those conversations. So you don't even necessarily have to post yourself and start conversations. You absolutely can if you want to, but insert yourself into conversations. And again, look for ways to add value to the conversation. Look for ways to demonstrate your knowledge as a copywriter, your strategic thinking, your looking for ideas and looking for ways to help a business owners. Weighing in on conversations like that can be a great way for people if they keep kind of seeing you show up in various places and adding value. Again, people can see that and think, oh, wow, mm-hmm. I like the way this person thinks. I may want to connect yeah. with them and that sort of thing. But again, it's not a proactive way to get clients. It's a very passive way. You are, yes, engaging in conversation, but there is an element of, well, I'm just hoping people are going to reach out to me. So looking for ways to be proactive on the platform and connect mm-hmm. with people that you think make sense to connect with. And being very, very careful about pitching on LinkedIn.
Exactly the direction that I was thinking as well. Because I know if you're thinking like, well, proactive and you want mm-hmm. me to pitch and oh my gosh, on LinkedIn, there are these people that I can just connect with them and send my pitches through LinkedIn. Here's the problem. The vast majority of emails that people are getting from people that they are not connected to are pitches, which means that on a very rapid schedule, we are all being taught that if we get a message from someone we don't know, it's probably going to be a sales message. And that's not what we want. It's not the impression that we want people to get. We craft, you guys, our students know, we craft our pitches very carefully to take out any and all sales from them because we do not want to trip that barrier in people's minds that goes, oh, they're selling to me. Nope, delete that. Not interested. We want to go in with a present, just a very no pressure. Here's an offer of something that is valuable. And unfortunately, can you do that on LinkedIn? Sure. Is there a way to do that? Absolutely. But it's getting harder and harder and harder because now the vast majority of messages are pitches, are sales. And it's going to be really hard to stand out. It's not going to be long before people see messages from people they don't know and just delete them because it's either a bot or it's sales or it's, you know, any number of other weird comments. So can you do it? Yeah, maybe it's a good way to follow up. I might suggest that. Follow up via email as well, but maybe also then follow up in LinkedIn, certainly. But still would not make it your primary way of pitching. Email is still always going to be the best way to do it.
And one of the last things to think about too when it comes to your profile is your profile photo. You do not necessarily need professional headshots by any means. You do want a professional looking photo. And by that, I just mean you don't want like tongue sticking out, eyes crossed, you know, peace signs, whatever. You can certainly show personality, but maybe in a more subtle way. If you want your face to the camera, you want people to know who you are, mm-hmm. preferably smiling, that you don't look mean. You look like a fun person to work with. Mm-hmm. And so if that's what people I can picture, because this would probably mean, wait, do I look like a fun person to work with? Don't overthink it, but just really just smile to the camera. You can be against a plain mm-hmm. background. It can be done with your phone. It doesn't have to be high quality,
especially because it's
just it's a thumbnail. So you want like, you know, good enough quality so people can tell you're mm-hmm. a human and not a robot, but you don't need full-fledged. If you want to, and you've started making, again, We always recommend doing things like this once you've got income rolling in. You want to spend that some money on professional photo shoot. Great, that's fine. But it's absolutely not necessary to get your business up and running.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So if it's been a while since you've looked at your LinkedIn profile, or maybe you haven't built one out yet, or maybe your LinkedIn profile is from your old career, or any number of these things, let this be a gentle reminder to an encouraging reminder to go in and make some changes to it. Put some time on your calendar to go in and zhuzh it up. Make it more attractive to potential clients. Even if you only have time to make a couple of these changes can have a big impact. And again, same thing with any social media. Don't forget, LinkedIn is still social media. Mm-hmm. Don't let yourself go down the rabbit hole of, oh yeah, I'm going to hop on LinkedIn. And instead of being on there for 15 minutes to comment and interact on people's posts, you find that you've been on there for 2 hours because it's easier and it's more fun than doing the other stuff that you know you have to do. I get that. I absolutely get that. Queen of justifying things that I would rather do than things that I know that I need to do, but maybe don't feel like doing. Totally get that. But be strategic and limit your time on LinkedIn because, again, dotted line to clients, not a direct line to clients. And if you want to be a successful copywriter, and I mean, we assume you want to be a successful copywriter, you need to focus on the activities that are going to give you the most impact. So with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody. Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.